In the Fale is a music show on ABC Radio Australia, hosted by me, Paola Tukefu. I'll be spinning my favorite tunes from dancehall to disco, calypso to country, reggae to roots, and hip-hop to house music, from across the era to keep the kids and the aunties happy. If it has a pumping groove, I'll be bringing it to you to bump you into the weekend.
Search up In the Fale to listen online or find it in the ABC Listen app.
This is an ABC podcast.
This is Nijan Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinirao Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Kia ora and happy Cook Island Language Week to all my cookies out there, all the mamas, all the papas. Kia ora and welcome to Nijan Footy, the best place for Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name is Tinirao Arona, and alongside me each week is my co-e, Sammy Wykes. Sammy, happy Cook Island Language
happy
Week, brother.
Happy Cook Island Language Week. Kia ora, ka kite. Can you add another word for me? For my vocab?
Tave Viki. Means my mum used to say that when she wanted me to hurry up. Tave Viki.
Oh, it's a, there yeah, you go.
And oro. Oro.
What's oro?
Means run.
What's hiding in between that? Because I feel like that's the next word and, I'm missing.
Beakwe means how are you? And then you say meitaki means good.
Meitaki. Nah, unreal. Do you know what my favourite Cook Island song is? Is it Roimata, Brother Love.
Give us a jam.
That's my favourite song, bro. Man, so happy Cook Island Language Week to all my cookies out there. Absolutely love your work, but we have plenty of work to get through today on our show, T, round 22 of the NRL. We have some news around Luckabee Samoa. The saga continues, so I was hoping to have a resolution by now, but that's not the case. So we'll have a little bit more of an update on that one.
That's with the funding that's happening with the
split with the board funding. It's probably all of the above.
Samoa and Rugby Union, right?
Rugby Union. So on that one, NRLW Magic Round happened over the weekend. Probably forgot to mention that on Friday. Relied too heavily on Sulla, but it makes sense why she wasn't here, because she was on a plane to Wagga Wagga for that Magic Round weekend. Super W, bit of that going
usually
on.
Usually we have Shelley Long, which will cover NRLW, but today we have, given that it's Cook Island
makes
Language
sense.
Week.
It makes sense.
We have Kiana Takarangi joining us here on Nijan Footy to cover all things NRLW.
Yes, there we go. And the Super Rugby Champs will get you the results for that one between the Waratahs and the Auckland Blues. And our guest today is a good mate of yours. He seems, I've never met him in person, but he's a guy that I believe would light up a room, man. If you're feeling down, he would be the guy that would be able to pick you up. Am I right in saying that to
you? Yes, Etu Yoesele. He played for the Parramatta Eels and the Penrith Panthers, and then he moved over to the UK to play rugby league over there before moving back. And I loved watching his social media clips or his videos, because he would be like, oh wow, reporting live from the UK. And then he would go on with his video. But man, Etu, when we first moved over to the UK, he was that guy that connected and brought us together. And usually it was over a meal, and Etu and his family was the one that would prepare the meal, whether it was waka over the spit, or, you know, sopa sui, all the island food that you don't get in the UK. You usually go to Etu's, because Etu would have the boys round, or it was all their wives and partners that would make the food. And then would enjoy his company. A great man.
Hang around for that chat. It'll be lighthearted. It'll be fun. And the fact that a boy that grew up in the village in, I think it's Malfunga in Tonga, and made his way over to Australia and end up playing in the NRL. It's a pretty special moment. So make sure you hang around for that chat.
Kia ora, I'm Ruben Rennie, Cook Island I2 player. You're listening to Nijan Footy. Just a quick bonjour. Je suis Ruben Rennie. Je joue pour les îles Cook. Merci pour votre temps. Merci pour votre soutien. Allez.
Stop showing off, Rubes. Ruben Rennie there. He's currently over in playing for Toulouse in the Super League, and he will be playing for the Cook Island International team.
So his French will be obviously come in handy, being over at Toulouse there, so he'll be fluent over in that. I love hearing our players being like bilingual in other languages, like say, seeing the Tongans speaking Japanese or Samoans speaking French, I think it's a very cool skill to have. Hopefully we'll get there one day, T, with our own languages.
Yeah, I was going to say earlier in my intros, man, I hope I got that right. Otherwise, my cousin will be, my phone will be going off very shortly. So, it is great to see Rubes playing some good footy, and I'm keen to see him in the upcoming World Cup. But let's go straight to NRL Round 22. Now, last Friday on Nijan 40, we spoke about the Roosters and their dominant performance over the North Queensland Cowboys, 82 points to 12. Now, they made a statement to the rest of the competition, but I thought in response, the top four teams, or the other three of the top four, they responded with some dominant performances of their own. I'll start with the Penrith Panthers. Now, they played their game in Mudgee. They played the Canberra Raiders. So Mudgee is in the country, New South Wales. It's a four-hour drive from the Sydney city centre. And this game, obviously it was a bit cold on a Saturday evening, but it was also Brian To'o's 150th NRL game. When you think of Brian To'o and the accomplishments that he's already had, four championships, played in a World Cup grand final for Samoa, State of Origin champion, and just an all-round genuine person. He deserves all his flowers. But what I love about this moment for Bizza was that they done a social media clip, or they posted on their social media on Penrith Panthers socials, a few of his boys sending a nice heartwarming message congratulating Bizza for his 150th NRL game.
Let's go! Yeah! Up to Moso, we just want to wish you a massive congratulations on reaching game number 150. It was always a goal of yours to play one NRL game, but this weekend you get to strap up and play game number 150. It's a true testament to your character, your hard work, and all the sacrifices that you've made to get you to the position that you are today. Just know that your family, your friends, and the whole area, all your nieces and nephews, and all the young kids out there look up to you, and they're very proud of you as well. And I know the boys this weekend, we'll go out there and work extra hard, carry the ball extra hard, just the way that you do, to get the dub for you as well. With everything that your body's going through, you've never shied away from a game, you've never shied away from a yardage carry, to carry the boys, to get the dub as well. And I know this week will be no different. All the best, Mauso. Hopefully you guys get the dub, up the Penrith boys, and go Uncle Bizza. Good luck, Mauso. All the best. Let's go.
The Panthers went on to win this game 42 points to 18 over the Canberra Raiders. They remain first on the ladder, but guess who they're playing in the next two games?
It's a big game against the Dogs, I believe.
This Friday.
Is it the Roosters?
They are playing the Warriors.
Warriors. Close. And I knew I was going to get there at some point.
And then next week, they play the Roosters.
Okay.
So a couple big games to look forward to there. The Warriors, they played the Titans in Gold Coast, winning 42 points to 6, scoring 8 tries in total. I just love that the way that they're playing their footy. It was funny because when you look out in the crowd, a lot of Kiwi fans up in Goldie.
There's a truckload.
And the Warriors fans are making some noise around the world. Do you think they've got what it takes to go to the end?
Well, they've obviously got the strike power, and when they put it all together, they're very hard to stop. So when they're on that roll and they get those back rowers absolutely setting the platform, and the backs that can be sharp off it, obviously you've got Dallin as well that absolutely killing it on the wing. I've got no doubt they can, but T, you know when they do have their lapses, say against the Bulldogs last week, when they were probably the favourites to win that game, but they don't come away with the win with the expectation was, on them as them, performing well and getting the job done. What do you put that down to when you talk about consistency and making sure that, because we will talk about the Eels and the Tigers when winning's a habit, losing's a habit as well. But like for the Warriors, they're in that mix of how do they kick on from here to make it, to become more consistent?
Great question. I think when a team's doing well, they're always going to have a slip up. We've seen recently the Panthers lose a couple games, and sometimes you need those losses to be able to get a good gauge on what you need to continue to improve, how far you are from the standard you need to be, as long as your team is ready come September, come finals time.
It's a long season, isn't it? Like 27 rounds to be able to be consistently winning every game. It's too hard to do in the NRL.
And then you've got to deal with injuries and, you know, with the Warriors, the amount of travel that they have to do. Like they played on Saturday against the Titans. They'll then fly back to New Zealand. They'll play the Roosters this Friday evening. So it's a 6-day turnaround with the travel days in between. And so the way
So they would fly back to New Zealand. So they wouldn't like camp in, say, Sydney and just stay here for a hotel. They'll go back. Okay.
One, players get back to their families, but also with their training facilities, you know, they'll want to get back to normal as much as possible.
Yeah, their routine. Okay.
The other team was the Sharkies. So top four teams, you've got the Panthers, the Roosters, the Warriors, and then Sharks sitting at fourth. They had another big win on the weekend, winning their game 32-16 over the South Sydney Rabbitohs. Sifa Talakai, it was his 150th NRL game, and Nico Hines breaks the club record in 32 consecutive goal kicks, and I believe the record is 36. So he's
on 32 consecutive. Hasn't missed one
in 32 kicks.
Wow. Do you know what's even more impressive about that? Because I saw Ronaldo Mulatalo's try. Probably could have gone a bit closer to the post to make it easier, but he just stopped there just to test out Nico a little bit more, and he still slots it over. He must be in a really good, I reckon, headspace at the moment, Nico, the way he's playing, the way he's goal-kicking, because he's copped a lot of criticism a lot over his years since going to becoming the halfback at the Sharks. So I love that for him, that he's in a really good headspace.
Yeah, he's back into his Daily M form, I believe, and looking more confident as each game, each week goes on by. But, you know, it's very important to have a good kicker in your team. And we've seen games where they've lost because teams can't kick their goals, but to have someone like Nico Hines, man, what a treat it is. But again, a big congratulations to Siosifa Talakai for his 150th NRL game.
He scored a try, didn't he, as well, under the post?
He scored one of his Sifa tries. Yes, he scored under the post, and here's some audio.
It comes to Trindle, off a step. He puts in the crossfield bomb, launching down there, Molotalo. That's it back for Talakai, and he's 150th. And he scores behind the post.
Yeah, probably one of his easier ones, eh?
Yeah, but you know what I loved about Sif as well, just before we move on to the Tigers-Eels, his comments around how hard it's going to be to leave the Sharkies. They gave him that opportunity. He said he was working on the garbage trucks. No one gave him a shot except the Sharkies, and he really thanked the Sharkies for giving him that opportunity. He's trying to repay them every chance he gets. So all the best when he goes over to the Perth Bears. They've got a quality player with Sif going there.
Couple quick shout-outs. The Bulldogs, they creep into the top eight, beating the Storm in Melbourne 36-22. And Stephen Crichton, man, that number six.
It suits him.
Two tries, try assist, and play on the same side as Viliami Kikau. That connection,
left,
man.
Yeah, left edge is deadly at the moment.
He set up Jeffro Rinakama for a nice little cutout as well. So, nice performance from the Bulldogs. And because of that loss to the Cowboys, against the Roosters, the Bulldogs jump into the eight. And before we get to the last game, Eels versus the Tigers, I want to give a huge shout out to Api Korosel, the Fijian legend for the hooker for the West Tigers. It was his 250th NRL game, and we've got some footage from another teammate of his. Man, this guy, Sunia Turuva, he's been on this one and Bizzes, but here's some footage of Sunia and a few of the boys sharing some words for Api.
Api, say!
Damn, bro. Come a long way, bro. Playing Halo split screens and you eating Skittles and jabbing my brother, your brother. Screen peeking. Sure, thank you for what you've done for myself, bro, on this journey. Been through a fair bit as well, on and off the field, but know that we'll go out there. The boys will put their best foot forward come tomorrow. Love you, bro.
Again, huge shout out to Api. Huge congratulations. 250 games. He's played 17 for Fiji. He's played for New South Wales. He's done it all. He's won a few premierships as well. And, yeah, just want to send a lot of love to Uppy. And then to wrap us up, the game of the round, our thoughts, everyone was, well, if you're Eels or a Tigers fan, because they're not, you know, they haven't had the most successful year or season most recently, you know, they were hoping that they would get this one done, both teams, and the Eels end up edging the win 16 points to 13 over the Tigers. The Eels were very strong in the first half, scoring the first two tries, 12-0 at halftime, and then the Tigers got some momentum back in the second. A nice, strong try from Fanua Pole, their front rower. Man, he broke it like a few tackles just to score directly under the post. And then Adam Dewey, with all the noise that's been happening at the Tigers and Adam Dewey, he still scored a try in the 71st minute, kicks a field goal. They're up by 13, so 13-12. But it was Mitch Moses and Isaiah Iongi who set up the last try, or who scored the last try with 5 minutes to go.
Last tackle, Eels, Edwards. He goes right to Moses, runs at the line, offloads, and Isaiah Iongi spreads them straight past Luai, and he's over to score, Isaiah Iongi.
That wrapped us up for round 22, Sammy, and you can hear every NRL game live on ABC Radio Australia. We'll have round 23 kicking off. But in other news, Adam Seibold, the former Manly Sea Eagles coach, he has signed with the PNG Chiefs as their assistant coach. I think he'll add a lot of value, especially around the connection with the players. I think he's a great man, and you know, great opportunity for him to leave a mark at PNG Rugby League.
T, is that all the league? We got more.
No, that's us for now, and you'll hear more soon with Kiana Takarangi covering NRLW.
Hi, I'm Asa Ivano from the PNG Orchids and North Queensland Cowboys, and you're listening to Nation Footy.
Rugby Union, Sammy, what are we going to talk about today?
Rugby Union, well, there will be test matches on this week. We've got Japan and the Wallabies. We've got the All Blacks heading over to South Africa. So on Friday, I don't have any guest speakers coming in, guest host to fill my role.
So you're going to finally do some work.
Do some work around here, which I probably should do. But look, it's, you know, we talked last week, I mean, on Friday, because the news broke around the news with Samoan rugby, you know, with the board and the governance. There's a split somewhere. Look, it's still pretty murky what's actually going on, because
nothing's solved yet.
Nothing solved, because on Friday they were saying that World Rugby gave Samoan rugby an ultimatum if they didn't come to a resolution around the governance of the Manu Samoa, then they were at risk of losing their international license and being part of like future tournaments. Big one, World Cup next year in Australia. So they're going to have a 4-year ban. World Rugby came out and said, no, we didn't give them an ultimatum and we're still having conversations. But we do have a bit of audio here from the conference that just happened not that long ago. And let's have a listen here.
I am particularly saddened to witness the demise of a once proud team at the hands of those that probably don't share my deep hurt that can only be experienced if you have bled for the jersey. What saddens me more is the lack of accountability for the underperformance of our teams, with the blame being put on the players, the blame being put on the coaches, and the blame even on the government for not providing enough funds. Not once have I heard those that govern rugby in Samoa own up or take responsibility for the dire state of Samoan rugby. Sport and politics cannot mix, full stop. There is a real danger that politicians on sports boards can and have used sports to further their own political agendas. One must choose one or the other. For politicians, your playground is at your phone. But for us rugby players, our playground is at your park. SRFU was born out of frustration and a sense of exclusion and a lack of interest from Rugby Samoa in the affairs of district rugby. Basically, the districts were left to fend for themselves without proper support in terms of resources required for the development of rugby in the districts. For too long, the districts were neglected. The result of this disconnection is now a deep lack of trust and confidence in the governing body of rugby. And this needs to stop now. For SRFU and its affiliated subunits, the time for change has arrived.
So basically off the back of that audio, look, a new rugby union, like a union has been launched in Samoa, like, and it's still escalating the tensions between, you know, Luckerbie Samoa, their long-standing governance of Manu Samoa, and this new board that has come out. So it's a Samoan Football Rugby Union Board has been established. And, you know, World Rugby is there to mediate the resolution between the Samoan government and Luckerbie Samoa and everyone that's involved with these parties. So there's it's been chaired by Manu Samoa representative Matafel and George Latu. They've got people there ready to go. So I guess all that means is it's been established in terms of who's got rights to govern where rugby goes in Samoa. That's still yet to be decided. So fair bit going on there, T. I know we don't really like to mix politics and sports. Not really our jam. But the way that rugby league is headed with the Pacific Islands, like, it's been amazing to watch. I guess it was really started by the players first. You know, the Tomalolos, Fifitas, the Stephen Crichtons, those type of players putting their hand up to represent Samoa and Tonga, and we've got Fiji as well, PNG. And because of that, the NRL and all the other parties around that govern rugby league have changed a lot of rules off the back of their big players making big decisions to represent the islands.
You know, state of origin being
state of origin being one of them.
Eligibility, yeah.
Absolutely. And when for our rugby union people out there, we want to get to that state where some of the biggest stars get to have the opportunity to either play for the Wallabies or Tonga or, you know, the All Blacks, whatever, but still a choice where they can do that. You know, why has it worked in rugby league?
In comparison to rugby union,
yep,
when it comes to the international game, the way that I see it is that rugby union is genuinely a global sport. And when you look at players that are playing across the world, you know, in France, in Japan, in England, in South Africa, all of those players sit in different entities. Whereas our international players, they either come from the NRL or Super League.
The
majority of them would come from NRL, and a lot of our international competitions, well, the big ones that have happened most recently in Pacific Champs and this year's World Cup, they've been held underneath the NRL. The NRL have run these international tournaments.
Yep.
So with the players, yeah, we don't have to chase up players from, you know, France, Japan, around the world. They're either based in Australia or New Zealand, and they're getting, you know, they're financially, they're getting looked after because they are playing in the NRL, and everything aligns. You know, whether it's the World Cup straight after the season this year, so 2 weeks later after the grand final, we go straight into the World Cup. Players are encouraged to play for their nations because, you know, it's the off season. It's not part of the NRL season.
So you would say, like, Peter Vlandis and those type of guys, like, even though they don't sit on, oh, I don't know where they sit, like, in terms of international rugby boards, but that would be a cross detail in terms of structure and where things need to be placed. So, like, consultation, like, not much is going to get past with Peter Vlandis and those type of people to go, okay, now this needs to be moved here. Yeah, we're happy to do this because it aligns with
the planning. There's a long-term plan. There's structure around it. There is consultation between NRL and, you know, the Pacific nations.
Yep.
And also the players when we do come to the party and you know, speak for the playing group that represents their nations in these competitions.
Okay. So I guess it does make things a lot easier. You know, you've got a scope where the net can be thrown on top of rugby league and everyone's on the one page, but you're right, in union, man, that net goes a long way, and it's very hard to ask the president of, say, Toulon to care about what's happening in the Pacific. They don't care, and they don't need to care because they're worried about their team over in France. So they're the challenges.
Yeah, the alignment.
Yeah, the alignment. And those decisions then impact, you know, the national teams, you know, Samoa and Tonga, because sometimes they can be released, sometimes they're not going to be released, and it impacts your pulling power to be able to make big decisions. But, you know, in league, it's a different case. But all we hope for, regardless of everything that happens, we've said it how many times before, that hopefully the rugby can just be the rugby. They can talk about that, and the politics and the governance behind the scenes get sorted so we can just focus on what's important, just what happens on the field, and then they can prep for a good World Cup coming up next year. But until we have more notice on actual concrete information, we'll keep chasing it up, see if someone's willing to go on the record. Did I sound like a journalist there? To go on the record and clear up what's going on in Samoa. We'll just hold fire there until we get that coming up in the next couple of weeks or so. But anyway, that's us for Rugby Union until Friday.
Sweet. Let's get over to Kiana Takarangi to speak about NRLW.
Bula, my name is Vani Are. You're listening to Nijin Puri.
Well, covering all things NRLW instead of Shelley Long, because she is no longer with us today on Nijin Footy Mondays. She will be
just
back
today.
Next week. Just today.
Oh, man, the way you said that, I thought you were saying that she's no longer here or done. Have you heard from her? No, I haven't.
But, well, there you go.
Hopefully she's coming back next week. But anyway, we've got the big guns to that always steps up and helps us out when we're short on numbers.
Yes, Kiana Takarangi, she joins us live here on Nijin Footy Monday. Thank you again for stepping in. You're like the perfect impact player.
14th player. Is that what it is? The 14th number? They're the Mr. Fix-It or Mrs. Fix-It. So appreciate it.
Let's talk about the weekend's NRLW Magic Round that was held in Wagga Wagga. Now, I've gone and done my research. Wagga Wagga is 4.5 hours drive from the Sydney city, and you make your way out to the country.
East or west? Nah, Jack, I'll put you on the spot.
East, northeast. Sorry, we should let Kiana talk now. Anyway, Kiana, Magic Weekend, what'd you make of it?
Yeah, boys, it was a huge weekend out in Wagga Wagga. I wasn't there personally, but watching the games on the TV, it looked like there was a great atmosphere. They had 14,000 or just over fans attend across the 2 days, and watching from all the socials as well, it looked like there were heaps of young fans who were super excited to have their NRLW idols to watch live, which was really cool.
Yeah, there were some great results over the 6 games. Which team was the most entertaining for you to watch?
For me personally, I've really enjoyed watching the Roosters play lately. I think they're playing some really good footy. They've been one of the standout teams for a long time, but I personally like the addition of two of their forwards, Amber Parris-Hall and Aaliyah Nasio. They've both come back last week from suspension and injury. I just think that they're bringing a lot of impact to their middle, who have also, you know, already been really dominant, but the halves and the outside backs just look like they're having a lot of fun playing off the back of, you know, their strong middle taking them forward. So they've been really good to watch.
Yes, a huge win over the Dragons, 38-8, and they remain undefeated, sitting second behind the Brisbane Broncos, who also had a big win over the Bulldogs, 34-4. Which team over the weekend surprised you when watching NRLW games?
I was a bit surprised by the Canberra Raiders losing against the Cowboys. So the Cowboys had their first win of the season. They probably struggled. You know, they've had a few big losses, to be honest. But the Raiders are one of the teams who I thought were kind of a smoky to go really well in the competition. But the Cowboys had Abigail Roach return, and she absolutely carved up. She had 3 try assists and just a massive game. So that was a surprising one, but good to see.
Seems like one of the other teams that have been a big surprise has been the Titans, you know, not just from this weekend, but overall, you know, when they were talking about, you know, the Warriors, the Roosters and the Broncos, and pretty much been a 2-horse race, you know, with the Roosters and the Bronx. But the Titans seems to be the one that just, yeah, could be the real deal this year.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. They've now won 4 of their last 5. So they're playing some really good footy. I like the addition of Tegan Levi, your rugby convert. She's been doing so well. She's been killing it. And then they've got, you know, the attacking strike of Jamie Chapman, who has just been running amok as well. So, they're doing outstanding. And, you know, for them to come up and beat the Warriors, who, you know, were one of the teams that people were looking to go really well this year as well, that's a big win. I'm sure they'll take a lot of confidence from that one.
Yeah, they've got some fast outside backs, eh? Like, they just look very athletic and are starting to play some really good footy. The only loss that they did have was against the Roosters back in round one. So keep an eye on the Titans now. The Eels, how are we going to turn things around at your club? They went down to the Knights, 32-12. They are yet to win a game. How is the vibe at training when you are turning up at the Eels training?
Yeah, it's been tough. It's definitely been tough. the solution.
Is key. Get you back in the side. That's the solution.
They might have to put me in. It might be the solution.
Put me in, coach.
Do you want me to message Georgie, the head coach? I'll say, oh, make some changes. Can you please?
You need some energy. You need some wise heads out there.
It's been hard. I think we've had a lot of challenges in terms of injuries and girls being out. We've had, I think there was three concussions on the weekend alone, so there's going to be more changes this upcoming weekend. But I just feel like the girls aren't playing with confidence. I think the girls look a little bit scared to kind of just play footy and, overthinking things and maybe making poor decisions, and then I think that's ending up costing us a little bit. So hopefully we can turn it around because, 0-5 is a very tough start to the season.
And just finally, I know the Tigers have had a huge win over the weekend, 32 points to 20 over the Sharks. And, Sala Tonga Tuki joins us every Friday. She wasn't on last Friday, but because they had the early kickoff on Saturday. But how has it been for you to watch the Tigers win a few games into their start of their season?
Yeah, that was probably another surprising one for me personally, and I was excited for them. I called their game on the sideline last week against the Roosters, and they had a tough loss in that game. They'd previously played the Brisbane Broncos the week before, so two huge matches. I think they would have taken a lot of learnings from both of those games, and it was really good to see them come up with a win against the Sharkies. I feel terrible for Tiana, our girl Tiana, because it was her 50th game.
I was about to say that they spoiled the party.
Yeah, exactly. So slack of Sala, but anyway, it's good to see the Tigers, finding some good form, especially after two really challenging games the 2 weeks before.
Awesome. Well, thank you again for joining us on Nijin Footy Mondays and giving us a wrap-up of Round 5 NRLW, and we will chat to you very shortly. And let me get on the phone to Georgie and get you in the start.
Surely you're in there this week, Kaz.
Because come on now.
Yes.
Let's get this win.
Appreciate it, boys. Chat with you soon.
Hey, guys. It's Ruben Porter here, and you're listening to Nijin Footy.
Well, Sammy, we thought we'll get one of the great Tongans from my era, and he played for the Parramatta Eels and Penrith Panthers in the NRL, made his debut in 2009, and then after his NRL career, he went over to England and played for a few clubs over on that side, and there was a cool story where we got to connect over in England and he done the pig over the spit, but the old school Tongan way. So I want to introduce everyone here listening on Nijin Footy. We have the great Etuate Uaisele joining us here on Nijin Footy, and he's also played for the mighty Tongan team, the Matematonga, but he's taken some break during his work hours to join us here on Nijin Footy. So Etu, thank you for joining us, brother.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it. Pretty good to be here.
Etu, man, it's always good to have a fellow Tongan on the show. We've had a few come on, and it's always been awesome to hear about their journey. But we'll start with, where is your family from in Tonga? Where were you born in Tonga?
Yeah, so I was born in Mautpanga, and my family's from Hapai. I grew up on my mom's side, so I think my dad's side is from Ewa and Niwa, I think. But yeah. Grew up in Mautpanga.
Mautpanga is known for dancing and fighting. They're good dancers, good fighters. Is that true? not necessarily in that order, but
yeah. Look, it's got a few boys that come from Mautpanga, and then pretty sure we seen a few dance before. Hey, you see?
Yeah, I've seen it with us, man. He's got the hips. The Van Damme movie.
Yes.
It was the Tom and Van Damme.
Yeah, nice.
Hey, so when did you come over to Sydney to pursue your NRL career?
Yeah, so I finished school, I think it was 2002, and I come over from, I come from NZ. I just played foot, came over and played touch footy, and I have a mascot, and some guy asked me to go and trial for St. George, and I played 20 minutes, and the guy took me out and said I made the team. So that's how I ended up being in Sydney.
Must have been a great 20 minutes. What did you do in that 20 minutes? Was it 10 tries in 20 minutes or something like that?
I think the big front rowers keep running to the sideline, and they didn't realize the winger can tackle. So yeah, it was a good game. I had to play good because I didn't have any visa to stay on.
Oh,
so really, yeah. So I had like a week left on my visa. So
Then did you sign Dragons on a working visa?
Yeah, I signed with them and they gave me a bridging visa.
Yeah,
and that's what kept me here for the preseason. And then I actually met my dad on that first time on the when I first come down here, and that's how I got my visa, my citizenship, because here I was already in Australia.
Did you know you came over just to play footy and you didn't realize? Yes. Did you know your dad was here? And he was
I knew there? My dad was here.
Yeah,
I just never met him till I was actually here in Australia.
And how did that connection when you first met your father? How was that connection for you?
Nah, it was pretty cool, eh? Especially growing up with no dad, and to just see someone is it's funny because like it actually looked like me. it was good. It was good, like to actually finally see him.
How old were you at the time?
I was 17.
17 years old, and from up until then, were you raised by mum?
I was raised by my mom in Tonga until I was 12. I went from there to my auntie and uncle in New Zealand. So I was in New Zealand, my auntie and uncle for 5 years.
That's cool, man.
Man, yeah.
It's like you just randomly dropped that, didn't you? Yeah. I was like, wait. So you just met your father. That's
It's crazy. Eh?
And then how did you move from the Dragons to Parramatta Eels?
I was a Dragon for 3 years, and my last year was I got injured a couple of times, and then ran out of contract. And you know yourself is when you're injured, is the club don't want to re-sign you. Power came out with just a train on like a part-time, full-time contract, like back in the days.
And then I could imagine when you first went to Parramatta Eels, there was a large Pacific representation in the players, and the likes of Jared Hayne, Kristen Inu, Filetti Mateo, and the greats Fui Moi Moi.
Yeah.
What was that like for you to be able to train and connect with guys like Fui?
That was pretty cool, man. Going from like Dragons, especially Dragons, they, back then there was hardly any Islanders there. So you're looking at probably two or three Islanders and a few Aboriginal boys, but going to Para was like eye-opening. You see all the first-grade boys, they're like Timana Tahu and that. They just make you feel welcome. I don't know. It was a different feeling when I went to the Eels with all the island boys there. So, it was pretty cool, eh?
Did it feel like home, like, moving from Tonga, in Malfunga and that, and you moved to New Zealand, and then you've got all your lived experience there. And then when you move to, where Parramatta is, Western Sydney, man, it's a big Pacific Island community. And then you've got people like Foy. How did that help you adjust, and feel like, man, this actually feels like home for me because I've got people that are same common ground, same beliefs, same family members?
I think I got along really well with them because when I first met them, they were teasing my English, so they got along with me. So they mocked me straight away, and we got along really well with, especially Filetti. He pretty much, hung out with him a lot, and he showed me around Para and that, and honestly felt like I was home. With just all the boys, the way they are, and it's just different, They know your jokes, and they don't laugh at every joke you say, and they tell you when you actually be an idiot and stuff like that. It was good.
Did you tease Filetti about his Tongan then? If he's going about your English, did you go, well, you speak Tongan then?
That's right. See? it was good. Filetti was there to help me out a lot.
What was your favorite memories of being at Parramatta Eels and being involved in the NRL with Parramatta?
I think the best moment is probably when I debut. We got to play up in Brisbane, and every year it's very special because it's on the is it the Anzac weekend?
Yeah, Anzac, the Anzac game. Yeah,
yeah. So I remember that every year because and it's like 40,000 people playing up in Brisbane. Like it's the best.
How was that moment for yourself when you're thinking like, man, I'm again, boy from Malfunga, Yeah. Now I'm playing in front of 40,000 people. Like, how do you handle that? What are your thoughts? Like, even after it's all done and dusted, you go, wow, this is pretty special from where you started to where you are now.
Oh, man, it was pretty big, eh? I think what helped me was I played World Cup before debut. I sort of went in there thinking it's just another World Cup game because it was a lot of people at the World Cup when I was playing. So that helped me. But, man, when you ran out and seeing all the people there and every run you do, you can't even hear the players because everyone goes off. Yeah, it's the best thing. It's probably from a kid coming from Tonga and, you know, and finally make NRL is pretty massive.
You mentioned you represented Tonga before you made your NRL debut. What was that like, you know, being born in Tonga, but then being able to represent the Matema Tonga as it was named the Matema Tonga when you played?
It's even now talking about it, you get goosebumps. Singing the anthem, all I think about is when they actually hear the anthem is like me and Tonga, like growing up, if that's fishing or picking up firewood at home, you know, that sort of stuff come into my mind and just makes you grateful for the opportunity and everything you go through to actually play in a World Cup.
When we moved to UK, the thing I loved about you was that I felt like I was home every time we come together. So yeah. To paint the picture, few clubs would have imports from different areas around, you know, New Zealand, Australia, and every now and then we'd have a gathering with all the Pacific Islanders and would invite, you know, others around the community to come in and share a meal together. One of our first ones was at Anthony Tupou's house in the backyard. Yeah. And I remember you and Hame done the pig for us over the fire, and you stood there. It was cold, it was raining, and you stood there, no shoes, and just for 3 hours spinning the pig over the fire.
Yeah.
With your culture, is that something that you're proud of, to be able to take what you learnt throughout your upbringing, but also take it to the other side of the world in the UK and share part of your culture, but also bring people together?
Yeah. Nah, I'm pretty big at that, eh? Especially cooking food for the boys. I'm massive in that. Even now, I still bring the boys around and cook a feed for them. I've done a lot of the umu and cooking pig over UK, and it's so good, especially we all far away from our families in New Zealand, in Australia, and around the world, and us away, that was our families. Pretty much our families, and I wanted you guys, you know, to feel welcome, you know, like this is how we cook our food. And I remember a few people saying, you know, we should get the murder thing, and I said, it's not about the murder, you know, turning, like, it's about if I'm cooking for you guys, like, it feels more than to me than the murder cooking itself. So for me to cook the food and serve it for you guys, it makes me happy. Yeah. And that's what it was for 3 years when we were there, and it was good to have Ali and, you know, all the other older boys there, and showing us how it's you know, how we are connected there in UK, and I think that's what's big about us Islanders, the cultures. It's so tight.
Such a good point you bring up, eh? Like, it's not just about making it easy and to cook it and just to cook it and eat fast straight away. Like the conversations that happen here, around when you're tunu puaka, you know, like some of the laughter, you know, you just get together. That's 3 hours that it's going. Like some funny memories when you do that. Like in Japan, we had our Tongan boys over there. They ordered the pig off Amazon. It came in this thing, and then and you know, same thing, winter, and they're just doing it over, and all the Japanese boys are like, oh, wow, that's how you cook the pig. It was pretty cool to hear you talk about the story. But where did you source the pig on? You know, you're not from the UK, but like, where did you source the pig? Like the cutting the half, you know, the barrel drum, you know, cutting that in half to be able to get everything. So where did you get all your stuff from to be able to cook it?
Yeah, no, it was good because there was a few Tongan boys there was already living in UK, playing rugby union. So they just connected me to the farm, and I went there and ordered the pigs, and I just used their equipment. So that's, yeah. And if we didn't have any the equipment, we'll just do the peak and that on the concrete or whatever, but just make sure it's covered.
Mm. And can I ask, you know, when the pole that you put through the pig, like what was it leaning on? Because some of the, I'll say, Tongan ingenuity around, you know, is it going to be a seat where it leans on? I've seen it sat on a forklift. I've seen it jammed between the fence. Like, yeah. What did you use to be able to, like, you know, hold the pole on the other end so you can just turn it?
No, that's a good one. Yeah, I actually used the pallet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The pallet's got different levels. And then I used the chair. So the chair's all right. And then you can move the chair if you need to.
I remember you using the pallet and you're like, when it was getting cooking too level. Fast, yep. You'll go up a level. Up a level.
What did you think when you saw that, T? When you saw, like, what's going on here?
But the thing I loved about it was that that time I got to sit out there and connect with the boys, and you probably don't realize it, but the impact you had on the next generations or the next players that come through, we got to continue that tradition and we got to continue that connection of, you know, when Jesse came over and Junior Moores was there and Peter Matautia, we done the exact same thing. Kalepi Tanganoa as well, where we would all come together and do exactly what you done. So that ripple effect, you made that impact. And, yeah, I just want to say a big thank you, because what you done there was show us and lead us on how to express our culture but also connect with other Pacific Islanders on the other side of the world.
Wow, that's amazing, man. Honestly, like, hearing that is, you know, and that's why I do it. Because if it helps you guys, helps the other young generation come through, like, we've done a job.
Mm.
You know, it's probably the same as raising your kids.
Yeah.
You know, we've probably seen different way of raising other kids, or we grew up with different, families, and we look at it and we choose what the right way for our kids. You know what I mean? Because there is a good way and there is a hard way of growing up, and we just choose the right way. And just to hear that is it's exactly what I wanted.
Yeah,
it's just passing it on, and you make those kids, those boys feel comfortable, feel like they're home, and like it's crazy. It's mad. Thank you. I love that.
No, I do. I do mean every word. And yeah, 41 years old now. Are you still playing? You still playing footy?
Yeah, look, I didn't play last year, and this year the boys, if they need a numbers, I'll jump in and out. I'll just play reserve guard, and it's funny. I'm playing kids that are like 25 years younger than me. You know,
how's the body? The body's looking good.
Yeah, it's tell you what, it's. I've sore for 2 weeks, and hopefully I play every 2 weeks, I think.
Do you tell the boys your age, or do you still say you're 30?
Nah, I think only a few boys there knows my age, and they didn't realize it until someone run in straight. They don't know who I am because I've never played for a couple of years, and I feel sorry for some of these young kids run straight, and like, why would you run straight? You know, like, and then I just told it. I told these young kids, like, even the young boys come through the system. Like I said, boys, don't run straight because you will meet someone that is gonna hit you hard. Like, don't listen to your coaches. Use your footwork. you gotta work smarter. You gotta play smarter. It's good to be back playing and just help out the club if they need me to play.
And whereabouts in Australia are you right now?
So it's Albury Wodonga.
So that's in the country?
It's in the country, yeah. So we're not far away from Wagga.
So how far away is that from Sydney, like a drive?
It's like 5.5-6 hours.
Five and a half, 6 hour drive from Sydney. Man, what's it like being born in Tonga and now living in the country of New South Wales?
It's all right. It's pretty good. It's not too busy. I think after leaving in the UK, I come back to Sydney and I'm like, wow, I can't believe I actually live in Sydney because it's just busy. You know, like in the UK, it was so calm and it's not as busy. And but I settle here now. It's good for the school.
Mm.
Not many islanders here. There's only a few Tongan families here, and living here, it's great.
That's cool. Before we let you go, we've got the upcoming Rugby League World Cup at the end of the year. Yeah, obviously Tonga's going to be a dark horse in this World Cup. I think there'll be plenty of nations that will be quite strong. But you playing 9 games for the Tongan team and being able to see them develop to the power horse that they are now. Power horse.
Let's leave that one. That was unintentional. I like it. So, yeah, we're going to leave that.
I meant that. But what are your – how do you feel of how proud to be Tongan and, you know, the growth of when you first started playing for Tonga to where they are now?
Man, it's crazy, eh? When we played, we'll probably get like 2 or 3 NRL players. And now it's actually, you got to make the team now, you know. We're not asking for players, so that's the difference. We always have a few boys coming back and playing for us, even though they make Australia and New Zealand. But to see Tonga where they are now is, it's just like another New Zealand side now, you know, even Australia.
Last question from me. Out of all the food that you've cooked, what's your favourite Tongan dish?
Wow, this one's a good one. I think my favourite one is probably the lusipi. I think it's
everyone's lusipi.
Yeah.
Wash it down with some otai. Yes.
Yeah.
How good.
All right, Etu. Nah, appreciate your time, man. And I just want to say again, big thank you. I know you're one of the trailblazers in our era, and yeah, I've always known you as that person of connection, love and happiness and joy, and you've always shined your light. So keep doing you, brother, and it's good to see you doing well as well.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Give me 3 answers for this one.
Oh man, I want to give another shout out to Etu. He's just a great human being.
What a character.
And I love having him here on Nijin Footy.
He gives me Sione Katoa vibes from the Sharkies.
You know what, actually,
the Tongan fisherman.
I wrote here, reporting live from the UK / Sione Katoa.
He has those same vibes, eh?
Yeah.
Love it, man. You need more people like that in the game, more characters and beautiful stories. So I appreciate you, bro. Malo apito.
And what are we doing here, Sammy?
We are going to Give Me Three, and Give Me Three is our personal version of categories where we take turns every week coming up with a new category. And the other host will just ask me, give me three for that category, and I've got to come up with the answer, or you, and the score is, oh man, I'm sick of seeing your name in the winners list. You talk about winning's a habit and losing a habit. That's us on this show.
I'm winning.
Clear.
29.
That is Sammy's very clear.
On 22.5. And this week, I'll be asking him the give me three question. And the winner at the end of the year.
This is the jersey one. Yep. Okay.
So
sweet as.
Easy one, mate. Easy. Right. And I know it's easy because you watch the game. Now, give me the Roosters. They won last Thursday, 82 points to 12.
Yes.
There were 14 tries scored, and a number of them were Nijin.
Yep.
Give me three Nijin Roosters players who scored in their game.
Demolition.
82 points to 12 against the Cowboys Thursday.
Mark was definitely one of them.
Yep. How many did he score?
He scored three.
Three.
He scored three.
Knew you'd get that one. Okay. That's an easy one, Mark.
Samuela Walker. Sammy Walker. Nah, jokes. He scored the last one. I remember that one, but
no, Cody Ramsey scored the last one.
Oh, did he?
Yep.
That's Sam right. He kicked it over. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. He kicked it over the top. I want to say Big Bobby Toya.
Yep, Robert Toya.
Bobby Toya.
Yeah,
he scored.
That's two. One more.
One more here. Who else is there?
Come on, bro. I've got a flight to catch.
I'm going to go Nafahu White.
Nafahu White. I knew you were going to go Nafahu White.
And that's incorrect?
That's incorrect.
Spencer.
That's incorrect too.
Really? So the big boys set the platform and they didn't get any chocolates?
Well, the other big boy, Celeste Fochetti.
Oh, did he get it?
He got one. And the other one was Tommy Talau.
Tommy Talau. He was on the wing instead of Nella. Yes. That's right. I'll take two.
Take two.
That'll take me 40. I mean, take me to 40 points. Yep, absolutely. 24 and a half. That takes me to 29. It'll be my turn next week, but that is our time up for Nijin Footy Mondays. Make sure you tell your footy loving friends about Nijin Footy. Find it wherever you get your podcasts or on the ABC Pacific website. And because it's Cook Island Language Week, ka kite.
We'll see you on Friday. This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.